What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning into the Local Crown Podcast, where we're going to teach you how to wage war on your competition and earn your local crown, also known as the top spot on Google. Today, I'm coming at you with my man, John. This is a special one. I've been following this guy for years. He started one of the most iconic brands in the entrepreneur space. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and why you do it for the people who don't know you, my man?
Well, first, man, it's my pleasure to be here and looking forward to our conversation. Yeah, you know, I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. I was forced into entrepreneurship because of my background, you know, not having, you know, what society says you're supposed to have to be successful. I don't have a college degree. Of course, I don't even have a high school diploma. And my first felony arrest, I was 15 years old, you know, led to incarceration, juvenile detention facilities, and 17 years old, had a heart attack from smoking cocaine, found myself just a complete mess and, you know, behind on everything, behind on life, killed, you know, so many relationships. And I found myself in this drug rehabilitation facility. I had a mentor in there. He was a former outlaw motorcycle gang member. His name was Dave. Dave was the first guy that really held the mirror up to my face. Dave was like, look, man, you're blaming the police. You blame your parents. You blame the school. You blame everybody. But the real person you should blame is yourself. And he was hard, man. Dave was a guy that you had to respect. And he was the first guy that wasn't lecturing to me, who was talking to me, you know, as a man and telling me, look, you know, you made an appointment to be here. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. But Dave gave me a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. Dave planted a seed about entrepreneurship because I didn't know how I was going to get out of my situation. I didn't know how I was going to get out of the neighborhood. I didn't know how I was going to change things. And Dave planted the seed that later led to me understanding that entrepreneurship was my way out. My last felony arrest, I was 24 years old and sitting on the bullpen floor of the Milwaukee County Jail. It was on that floor waiting to go to court. It was July 4th, 1993. Just a miserable, miserable experience. 4 days sitting there waiting. I finally get through that thing, but it was there on that floor. I said, yes, I was a loser. Yes, I was a drug addict. Yes, I was a criminal. All these things, that the adjectives that were used to describe me, that's who I was, not who I would be going forward. And that I made a decision that day. And from that day forward, I never was arrested again, never did drugs again. And I started to work. And unfortunately, man, it took me a long time. It took me 7 years as a full-time entrepreneur to finally crack $100,000 in a single year. But from there, you know, it went crazy. The next year was 200,000. Then it was over a million and a couple million a year and a quarter million in residual income every single month. So, but yeah, we focused on, I've owned a lot of companies, from real estate, publishing companies, mixed martial arts, cage fighting companies. We launched the Build Your Empire brand on social media that took off. And we're, you know, doing tons of events around the world with that brand. Today, as a matter of fact, Monday, we pre-launched what I think is the premier, most relevant health and wellness company on the planet, Oh Snap Active Lifestyle, where we're bringing to the marketplace a new delivery technology. We call them snap packs. You know, no more, you know, hard to swallow pills, messy powders, or sugary gummies. I'm not trying to do a commercial for it, but it's just my style as an entrepreneur, man. This is what we do. But yeah, we've been building businesses now for 27 years. And again, because nobody would hire me, I was forced into entrepreneurship, and thank God that that's the path that we ended up taking.
I love that, man. So I got to know, after going through all of that, how did you start building up your confidence to be at the level that you're at now?
Man, yeah, you know, it's funny. I used to joke around, and I would do this training, and in my training, I would talk about confidence. You know, confidence is the great separator. You know, confidence is the reason beautiful women go out with ugly guys. You know, I'm a great example. If you see my wife, you're like, dang. And, you know, it's there's a confidence, and there's something different between cockiness and confidence. When I was young, when I was in my 20s, what I had was cockiness. You know, I'm rolling through my neighborhood in my Pontiac 2000 two-tone, one-tone rust, one-tone dirt, but still I had an ego. Still I had a, you know, I thought I was, you know, badass. I thought I was all these things. So confidence was developed over a period of time, and it was developed from the inside. where cockiness is developed from the outside. Cockiness is that, you know, let me take some pictures with Lamborghinis and in front of mansions and pretend like they're mine and walk around like I'm a big shot. Where when you have real confidence, you don't have to say a word. When you have real confidence, you know, the you're being introduced before you ever even walk into the room. And I never had that. It took me a long, long time to get that. And I can't tell you, I can tell you that it was something that really started to happen when I stopped caring what other people think. Now I care about people, but there was a massive switch that the day when I really was set free, and it really is a freedom thing, because the reason why so many people are cocky is because they care so much about what people think. When you get around genuinely confident people that own themselves, they know who they are, they know whose they are, they know what they stand for, they don't really care what you think. I wrote a book with a guy named Les Brown, motivational speaker Les Brown. Terrible book, by the way. His part was great. My part sucked. But if anybody wants it, I'll send it to you. You can use it for fire kindling. Many years ago, but Les Brown used to say, "It's none of my spiritual business what you think about me." I don't think you truly can develop an inner confidence until you realize that what other people think about you, what their opinions are of you, none of that matters anymore. When you know that you're doing every single day what you are purposed to do, what you're supposed to do every single day. And you know that, look, you're going to find me at the top of this mountain. You're going to find me dead on the side of the mountain trying to get there. There'll be no fronting. There'll be no false flag and no playing games. I'm going there regardless of what anybody says or what everybody thinks. That's the day when you start to really develop the inner confidence. And something that I believe starts when you stop caring about, you know, what people think about you and what you're driving and what you're wearing and how much money you have in your bank account or how big you're flossing at the clubs. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. That makes perfect sense. So I do got to ask you, I have an audience of a lot of underdogs. You probably don't know this, but I would, like, 4 or 5 years ago, I was addicted to drugs. I was depressed. I was suicidal. And so I attract a lot of those people, especially because I like to bring on underdogs like yourself. So what advice would you give to somebody who's maybe in a position they're trying to get out of, maybe they just got out of prison? Like, what steps would you advise somebody to take if they're just trying to move forward and figure out where they're going and in what direction?
Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is what a mentor told me is I used to think that I had a disadvantage. You know, I used to use all the things that we talk about when I just, you know, describe where I came from. I used to use my criminal record. I used to use my lack of education, my inability to communicate well, the way I looked. I used a lot of these things as excuses, whether they were outright excuses that I said or excuses I used in my own mind as the reason not to be successful. And I had a mentor come in my life. And he said, "Look, man," he said, "you have a massive, massive advantage. You don't realize it yet, but let me tell you what it is." He said, "I can teach anybody business skills. I can teach anybody business skills. You can now, and that was back in the days when we didn't have, like, you know, Google, we didn't have access to the stuff that we have access today. So I can teach anybody this stuff." But he said, "What I cannot teach, I can't teach this sixth sense that underdogs usually have. People have been taken advantage of, people that have been beat up, beat down, downtrodden. There's a sixth sense, like a street smarts that I cannot teach. And that gives you a massive, massive advantage. And the day you figure out how to utilize that, will be the day everything changes for you." So for me, I when I was early on, I started to catch on. First off, I started to use my, what were at one point my excuses. You know, my excuses, I have no money. Well, that I started to switch in my mind. That's no longer the excuse to not be successful. That is now the reason to be successful. You know, I had a daughter, you know, early on, and in the beginning, she was kind of the excuse, like, "Well, I can't because I have this kid, or I got this response." And it became, no, she is my responsibility. So she became the reason, my responsibility, I stopped using as my excuse and started making it my reason. So the first step I would do, if I was starting all over, I would take out a piece of paper and I would take inventory of myself. Who the hell am I? What skills do I have? What skills do I know I lack? And I would figure out who I am, and I'd write those things down. I'd draw a line down a piece of paper. What do I know I'm good at? What am I bad at? And you know, really, really dig deep. And then the areas where I'm weak, which for me, that whole paper was all weaknesses, or it seemed to be. I had some strengths, but I didn't give myself credit for them. Later on, they came out. I started to search out people, books, seminars, you know, people, places, things that had the solutions to my weaknesses that could offset those weaknesses. The beauty of shows like this, bro, I love this because today there's no excuse, man. There's so, you can get the information. You can become strong where you're weak, and you don't necessarily have to work on those strengths. You just got to get around people that have those strengths. And that was for me the big game changer. I realized that I could get laser focused on where I was strong, because society will pay big money for someone who's a 10 in a particular category. Society doesn't pay big money for fives and sixes. So I said, look, if I'm a two in a particular area, let's say, like, for me, mathematics, I don't know why my brain just doesn't function around it very well. I'm a two in maths, but I caught on. I can use calculators. I can increase that a little bit, but I got accountants. I got bookkeepers. I got people that handle that stuff for me. So I never have to think about it. And that allows me to go focus in the areas where, you know, where I was a six or a seven to become a 10. And that had massive, massive impact. Again, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. I subscribe to the slight edge philosophy. And I would encourage anybody who has been beat up, who's behind on life, you know, in debt, struggling, whatever, trying to make ends meet. There's no secret sauce. There's no special secret. I used to think you had to be born in the house with the Rolls Royce already in the garage, but I caught on. I could start to beat everybody with simple disciplines every single day. What I could do is I could read 15 to 20 pages of a good book every single day. And in a year, 2 years, 3 years, I would completely separate myself from most of the people around me. The same thing with health. You know, now I'm 50 today, but I'm in better health than I was when I was in my 20s. I outrun 20-year-olds, push it. I mean, this is what I do. I focus my, you know, I want to have big, big energy for my family, for what I'm doing. So what I do is I make sure, you know, instead of eating the Big Mac, which would be an error in judgment, I watch what I put in my body, and it takes a little more discipline, just a little bit more. It's easy to do. It's also easy not to do. And I just keep those simple disciplines every single day, because it's not the one Big Mac that takes you out. It's the combination over a period of time that, you know, when you're 50, you're sluggish, the light has gone out of your eyes, your skin looks like shit, you got no energy. And if we could get young people especially to catch on to this stuff early, man, they would just crush their competition. So those are a couple of things that, you know, I would use a slight edge. And I would take inventory of myself and then start to find the people and associate with the people around me that have the strengths and have the solutions, not rather than my problems.
I love that, man. So thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you learned something. If you have questions, email us at info@thelocalcrown.com. And if you want to get featured in our publication, Inside the Empire, alongside John Lee Dumas, the Entrepreneur on Fire, Jason Waller, the CEO of Power Home Solar, Sharon Lecter, Dan Caldwell, the man that started Tap Out, and the limitless man himself, Jim Quick, for free, then head over to thelocalcrown.com/become a contributor.